Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of The Clone Conspiracy, a podcast where we try to explain the history of Ben Reilly and just what the hell was going on with one of the most infamous comic storylines of all time, Spider-Man's The Clone Saga. I'm your host, Scott Free, and in this episode, we discuss the immediate prelude to The Clone Saga as Ben Reilly returns to publication in early 1994. Now, at the end of our last episode, we were in the mid-1970s. Between November 1975 and 1994, it's a bit of an understatement to say that quite a bit happened in Spider-Man comics, as well as the world as a whole. Quite frankly, summarizing in detail 19 years of comics is beyond the scope of this podcast, my attention span, and my increasingly fraying sanity. But to give you the highlights, Peter and MJ get together. Secret Wars happens. The Black Suit Saga happens. Hobgoblin debuts. The Rose debuts. Tombstone debuts. Black Cat debuts. Gang War happens. Kraven's Last Hunt happens. The death of Ned Leeds. The wedding of Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson. The death of Harry Osborn and the second Green Goblin. Eddie Brock debuts. Venom debuts. Carnage debuts. And in 1993, the supposed return of Peter's long-dead parents, Mary and Richard Parker, who actually turned out to be life model decoys, or S.H.I.E.L.D. androids, as part of a plot masterminded by Harry and set in motion upon his death. It's a lot of material, and it was spread across multiple titles. This is the era when Spider-Man is at his peak, publication-wise, and there's multiple titles going simultaneously. There are three main titles in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. There is, of course, Amazing Spider-Man, the original. The second title, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, which is eventually shortened to just the Spectacular Spider-Man, debuts in 1976, with a debut issue featuring a battle against the Tarantula and his deadly pointy shoes. We can never escape our friend, the Tarantula. Initially, Spectacular was by veteran writer and original Clone Saga scribe Jerry Conway, with Sal Buscema and Mike Esposito on art. Spectacular was designed to be a bit of a change from Amazing. As Conway would recount in a 2010 interview with Back Issue, that's Back Issue 44, I believe, to recount, Spectacular Spider-Man was in response to the fact that I had a deal to script several ongoings for Marvel at the time. Stan Lee wanted me back on Spider-Man in particular, but I didn't want to take Amazing Spider-Man from Len Wein, who was by this time the regular writer. So Stan saw it as an opportunity to launch a second Spider-Man title, which was something he wanted to do for a while. The full original title was Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man. The notion was we'd focus more on the supporting characters and Peter's social life, but before we could really develop that, I left Marvel again, not long after that. Subsequent writers on Spectacular throughout the 70s and 80s read like a who's who of Marvel talent, particularly upcoming Marvel talent. Archie Goodwin, Bill Mantlo, Roger Stern, second Mantlo stint, Al Milgrom, and, in 1985, a relatively new Marvel writer, Peter David. Peter David was subsequently fired in 1988 over tensions with Jim Shooter, many such cases, and Conway was brought back on the book from 1988 to 1991, when he was then replaced by J.M. DeMatteis, who wrote The Return of Harry as Green Goblin in the famous Child Within arc in issues 178 to 184, leading to the death of Harry in 1993's Spectacular 200. DeMatteis left the book in mid-1993 to take over the flagship Amazing Spider-Man and was replaced briefly by Stephen Grant. More on that later. The third title, Web of Spider-Man, began in 1985 as a replacement for Marvel Team-Up, the classic 70s and early 80s title built on the premise of each issue teaming up Spider-Man with a guest character. Webb was designed instead of the team-up to, again, focus just on Peter. Webb rotated between writers, and after an initial three-issue run by Louise Simonson, who was also, incidentally, the first female writer to be the regular writer of a Spider-Man book, the book then featured writers such as Danny Fingeroth, David Michelinie, Peter David, Larry Lieber, Jim Owsley, J.M. DeMatteis, Annie Nesenti, Jerry Conway again, Fabian Nicieza, and eventually, as we get into the Clone Saga, Terry Cavanaugh and Todd DeZaga. Again, more on that later. A fourth book, Adjectiveless Spider-Man, starts in 1990. This would be followed shortly thereafter. A fourth book, the Adjectiveless Spider-Man, starts in 1990, so that by early 1994, there's four monthly Spider-Man books, as well as the quarterly Spider-Man Unlimited. Web of Spider-Man 114 releases in May 1994, with a cover date of July 1994. Terry Cavanaugh and Joey Cavalieri are credited with the words, while Alex Saviar is on art. The A-plot of this book is unmemorable, if I'm being generous. Featuring a villain named Facade, it's all caps, so you have to say it like that, Facade, threatening J. Jonah Jameson, his son John, and a new Bugle photographer, this twink named Cole Cooper. It's not important. What is important is a brief scene that we get where Aunt May, coming to the house, answers the phone, and it's a call from an unknown caller. May is still distraught over the appearance of the fake Parkers, of Peter's deceased parents seeming to return from the dead. It's a big point in the traumas that faced May in the early 90s. She's very traumatized by the return, or seeming return, I should say, and then death slash disappearance of the life model decoys of Peter's parents. So May is thinking about that. And at first, she doesn't know who the unseen caller is, but then she does, saying, "Oh, it's you, dear. Seems like ages since we last chatted. Where are you calling from this time? That far, dear? But I was hoping your travels would bring you to New York soon so we could finally meet in person. I've been anxious to introduce you to my nephew who works at the..." And May trails off as she catches sight of the headline on the front page of the Daily Bugle about a murder at the Bugle, which was tied into the Facade A-plot. "I'm sorry," May says. I really must hang up now. Peter might need me again." We then cut to a figure in shadows in the dingy hotel room. We don't see the full figure, but we get his words and thoughts. "Terse goodbye wasn't like her at all. I haven't heard so much tension in her voice since we first connected." Connected as in, quote, "There's trouble in the Parker family." Over in Amazing Spider-Man 391, May suffers a stroke. MJ will find her on the floor. But it's important for our purposes is the interludes with the mysterious stranger, who is unnamed, continue throughout the next few issues of Web, Adjectiveless, and in Spider-Man 48, MJ answers the phone while, we're told, miles to the west. We see the shadowy figure against the backdrop of a western sunset at a gas station payphone. A motorcycle rests nearby. "Hello? Who is this?" MJ says. No answer, and she slams the phone down. "Mary Jane?" the man says. We have a shot of his back in a brown leather jacket, with brown hair, with his right hand on the back of his neck, with a red and yellow ring on his finger. In Web 115, a panicking MJ answers a call at May's house in the middle of the night. We see the same man in the same outfit from behind. He looks to be in a mountain lodge or cabin. "Excuse me, miss, he stutters. "I apologize for the long-distance connection. I'm an old friend of the family's who's been trying to reach May Parker." "I'm so sorry," MJ says, "but I'm waiting for a call from my husband, so I need to free up the phone." "You'll have to contact Forest Hills Hospital for the details," she hangs up. "No," The man screams. The text is all in caps and red, so you know he's pissed off. We see his fist squeeze and crush the phone easily with a skronk sound effect. The ring is still there, and it's clearer now. A class ring, by the looks of it. "Not May," the man says. "Not May," he yells. Again, all caps, in red. He screams and stomps out of a cabin towards a motorcycle, against, again, a backdrop of mountains. Peter, I should add as a side note, is missing during this era. He's going through a crisis where he's considering casting off fully the Peter Parker persona and just being Spider-Man. And that's partly why he's been away from May and MJ. MJ doesn't know where the hell he is. And that's partly why she's so jumpy on the phone. Next, we get Spider-Man 49 in August 1994, touting on the top right corner for the first time that, in all caps, "The Spider-Man mystery continues." The actual cover and issue is about a fight between Spidey, a hobgoblin, and a new character, Coldheart. Again, unmemorable. This issue is by Howard Mackie, but the words are by Howard Mackie, I should say. There's gorgeous art by the late, great Tom Lyle, who figures quite prominently into Clone Saga stuff. Now, man drives off. We see the figure mounting a motorcycle and driving off while two men outside of a gas station or rest stop or something talk. The older man says, "You mean he up and just left, just like that?" "Yep," says the younger man. "Came in this morning, collected his pay, and said he'd be taken off before sundown. He was a good worker. Kept to himself, but did his job real good. I'm going to miss the guy." "Say, where's he heading in such a hurry?" "Somewhere back east. New York City, I think. Said it was some kind of emergency. Someone close to him had a stroke or something. Poor guy. Hope everything turns out all right." And again, we get a close-up of the ring as he rides off into the night. The engraving says Midtown High. In Spectacular 215, also from August 1994, a lot happens in August 1994, by DeFalco and Buscema, we see the solitary figure, as he's referred, do a series of elaborate cartwheels into oncoming traffic to save a distracted child from being leveled by an oncoming truck. It's a familiar display of acrobatics. Snatching up the kid, the man, whose face we still don't see, says, "Don't worry, kid. You're okay now." The man's father, the boy's father, I should say, comes running. "Jeffrey, thank heavens." "Thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. You saved his life. Do you want money? I'll give you some." "Keep your money. Buy a leash for the kid instead." We got thoughts from the man. "I'll have to circle back for my motorcycle. Don't want anyone stopping me. Ask questions. Don't like to risk anyone realizing who or what I am. But nothing's more important than saving a life." Wow, I wonder who this mysterious stranger concerned with using his great power to responsibly could be. In Web 116, in September of 1994, we see MJ in the hospital. This is Kavanaugh on words and Saviuk and Don Hudson on art. The mysterious stranger, meanwhile, rides his motorcycle up to the hospital. He got from Colorado? Question mark. Very quickly. Forest Hills. Queens. Just like I remember it. Thought I'd never return to this neighborhood. The city. Again. Until MJ told me the news about May. He dismounts, still wearing the bike helmet obscuring his face. And I realized I had to come home before trails off. "Hold it, fella." A security guard stops the man. "The hospital's closed to visitors at this time of night, except for immediate family of patients on the critical list." The man pulls his helmet off and tucks it under his arm. We only see him from behind. We still don't see his face. "That's me, sir. I'm looking for a woman named Parker?" That voice behind me. "No," he thinks, slapping the helmet back on and running. Out of the lobby. "I can't let him see me now." "Wrong way, bud. The elevators are behind us. The guard yells, but his voice trails off as he looks and sees Peter Parker, dressed very similarly to the stranger, talking to him, the nurse at reception. Amazing 293, September 1994, by De Matteis and Bagley, opens with our mystery man in a nighttime six-panel grid, kneeling before the grave of Gwen Stacy, leaving a solitary rose in the headstone. The main story then runs. It's about Carrion. As I mentioned in the last episode, Carrion is confusing. Tied to the Jackal, yes, but confusing. We'll deal with Carrion when we have to, God help me. Later in the issue, we see the figure visiting Midtown High. In Spider-Man 50, also 1994, we see the stranger in May's house in Queens. He's looking at a photo. Ben, May, and Peter. You made a fine-looking family. You... Someone's coming. Gotta get out of here before anyone sees. Figure escapes, diving out a window. He narrowly avoids Peter and runs out of the house. Almost like he was warned by a sixth sense. And wow, I wonder who this could be. Finally, in September 1994's Spectacular 216, we get our dramatic reveal. Billed on the cover as, at last, you and Spidey learn the incredible secret of the Mystery Man. And that is when we learn that this is, in fact, well, we'll discuss it next episode. And that, friends, concludes this episode of The Clone Conspiracy. We are finally ready to jump into the beautiful mess that is the 90s Clone Saga. So get your pouches and baby blue hoodies ready, because we are good to go.